Chapter 9. Interrupt the Routine. Life begins at the end of your comfort zone. Neil Donald Walsh. I love the above quote from Neil Donald Walsh. It's one of those things that we know, yet constantly resist. Working with athletes, I am continually urging them to get outside of their comfort zones. It is the only place where growth happens. Talking to a group of baseball players, I asked them to remember the first time they faced an 80 or 90 mile per hour fastball. Most of them remember the terror of that moment. Forget trying to get a hit. The goal was just to get out of the batter's box alive. Then I asked them to think about the second, third, and fourth time facing that speed. Maybe they still didn't get a hit, but they were getting close. They were more relaxed, focused, and a lot less fearful. Even those who were plunked by a fastball now knew what it felt like to stand in the box and run at the dog. What happened as a result? The speed was the same, but they were different. Their comfort zone had expanded. It didn't expand by playing it safe and staying put. In order to increase your comfort zone, you need to step outside of it. Common sense, but not common practice. Ask yourself, when is the last time you stepped outside your comfort zone? When was it? What did you do? How did you feel? It is probably easier to remember the last time you were pushed outside your comfort zone, not by choice. That is more common. Why? Because most of us don't willingly go beyond our comfort zone until we are pushed. In fact, if you think about your week, you can probably think of an instance where you were forced outside your comfort zone. Maybe you were asked to present something at work, or coach your child's youth soccer team, or deal with a difficult family situation. We are constantly being asked to go beyond our comfort zone. Sometimes we choose it, sometimes it chooses us, but it is always an invitation we need to accept. And what is our comfort zone, really? It is the familiar and expected. It is the little we think we can control. It is where we feel safe and secure. It is where we exhale and relax and let our guard down. It is comfortable. It is also boring, stagnant, and let's be honest, it is delusional. In our comfort zone, we buy into the illusion that we can control our situation, our surroundings, and others. It is where we resist change. And if there is one constant in life, in addition to death, it is that everything is constantly changing. Every relationship, marketplace, weather condition, and cell on your body is constantly changing. It is our desire to have a comfort zone that is actually the cause of our discomfort. Come on, I give you permission to tweet that. When you look closely enough to any pain, stress, or anxiety in your life, it is the result of resisting change. Life is screaming at you to say yes and accept the facts, yet you are holding on for dear life to what was. Who is going to win that battle? There is absolutely nothing wrong with your comfort zone, unless you are against growing. That's all. Living yes and allows you to get out of your comfort zone willingly, not because you are an extreme thrill seeker, but because you understand the constancy of change. You are not surprised by it because you expect it. Rocky Balboa is a great example of this. No, Stallone did not pay me for the reference. Yet. Think back to Rocky IV. Drago has just killed Apollo Creed, prompting Rocky out of retirement to defend his friend's death. Not even Adrian thinks Rocky can win the fight. So what does Rocky do? He schedules the fight in Russia, as far out of his comfort zone as possible. He then rents a small house in the middle of Siberia and begins training with nothing but snow, mountains, a barn, and farm equipment. While Drago trains with state-of-the-art technology and steroids, Rocky trains in candlelit solitude and boots. The movie begins with Rocky living in an extreme life of comfort and luxury, especially for the 80s, with his mansion, giant swimming pool, Ferrari, and talking robot. The message is clear. The comfortable life has made him soft, weak, and vulnerable. In order to respond to this insurmountable challenge, he must go back to what made him successful in the first place: discomfort and struggle. We know the ending. Rocky wins, ends the Cold War, thank you, Stallone, and reminds us that if I can change and you can change, then we all can change. Come on, does it get any better than that? By choosing to go outside of our comfort zone, we eliminate the shock of surprise. This is how elite military divisions prepare their soldiers to be able to respond calmly and clearly to any obstacle or challenge that arises in combat. Tom Spooner is a retired United States Army Special Forces operator. He is also the co-founder of Mission 22, Elderheart, and Warrior's Heart. All three organizations were started as the result of his own personal struggles with PTSD and TBI, traumatic brain injury, and chemical dependency. The purpose of Mission 22 is to raise awareness, enlist support, and end veteran suicide in America. The purpose of Warrior's Heart is to provide a place for veterans and first responders to heal with dignity and respect. Tom knows all about being in the heat of the battle beyond his comfort zone, yet being able to rely on his training to respond effectively to the situation. He shared this with me. The element of surprise and unpredictability is what throws most of us for a loop. This is one of the reasons United States Army Special Operations training is so intense, demanding, and unpredictable. One of the goals is to get the soldiers so far out of their comfort zones during training that they are able to respond to any situation. Through this training methodology, they will obtain the ability to be comfortable in uncomfortable situations. The motto, "Selection is an ongoing process," becomes their culture. Being individually tested every day becomes the norm. I love that. Being individually tested every day. It is our routine that is dangerous. Routine creates a sense of normalcy that doesn't really exist. We all get fooled into thinking that we like the normal, but that is not true. Normal is boring. What we really want to know is that we will be financially stable, healthy, and that our loved ones are safe. After that, we crave adventure. We want twists, turns, and surprises. We go to movies because we want to be entertained by the unexpected. We want to be inspired by the hero's journey. Why? Because we see slices of ourselves in those characters. When the normal is broken, how do they respond? How would we respond in a similar situation? As an improviser, my goal is to find and create the unexpected. Routine is death on stage. It is boring. In fact, improvisers have a term for doing this in a scene. It is the name of this chapter: interrupt the routine. In an improvised scene, the actors involved are trying to get on the same page as quickly as possible using yes and. The reason for getting on the same page is so that they can work together with a common understanding of the who, what, where, why, and how details of the scene. They want to establish the facts. This is intentional. Then, once the facts are established and the audience thinks they know where the scene is going, the improvisers take it in a new direction. This unexpected twist allows for new creativity and exploration to evolve, while keeping the audience on the edge of their seats. Think of it as Disney World's Space Mountain. If you have never ridden Space Mountain, spoiler alert, it's fun. As old as it is, it still is an awesome thrill because the whole ride takes place in pitch black. You know there is going to be another turn or drop, but you literally can't see it coming. It is hard to see your own hand in front of your face. In an improvised scene, the same is true. It is filled with twists and turns, and as soon as the audience thinks they know where it's going, you throw them another twist. It's the same reason we love mysteries. We want to be surprised. But it is one thing to go to an amusement park or movie where we are inviting surprises, compared to the uninvited curveballs we experience in our day-to-day lives. We know they are going to happen, yet we trick ourselves into trying to keep everything as it is, changeless. It's impossible. Everything is always changing. As soon as we get comfortable with our life routine, you can guarantee it is going to get interrupted. Not now. Why me? Why now? We have all felt this way. There is no good timing for some of these unseen events. The difference is being able to embrace a yes-and mindset that not only expects the interruptions, but actually invites them. Even when it comes to my daily commitments, I am aware that the goal is not to get comfortable, but rather engage in activities that are stretching me and mentally keeping me on my toes. Great creatives have known this forever. You know it too. You just don't know you know it. We say things like, I just need to clear my head, or we need to look at this with fresh eyes. What you are really saying is that you need to interrupt the routine. You need to come at the situation from a different perspective. You need to be open to the new or illogical. The best improvised scenes are often provoked by a mistake from one of the actors. Mispronouncing a simple word, forgetting someone's name, or not knowing common information opens up the scene to go in a direction that couldn't have been planned or foreseen. If the actors are not comfortable with mistakes, they may get flustered and allow the scene to spiral downward. Experienced improvisers, on the other hand, come alive when a mistake is made. In fact, they don't see it as a mistake at all, but rather an opportunity to create a scene that has never been created before. Instead of getting tripped up with the mistake or ignoring it, they yes-and the idea and turn it into comedy genius, most of the time. The unexpected twist is what makes the scene interesting. Great improvisers know how to do this naturally by taking scenes in unconventional directions and finding brilliance. You have the same ability, even if you've never demonstrated it on stage. One of the athletes I worked with on the United States under-17 national soccer team broke his leg in August, roughly 7 months before the World Cup qualifying tournament. You can imagine his disappointment when he thought about the timing of his injury and his chances of making the final roster. When the time came to choose the final roster for the qualifiers, he was on it. Not only did he make the team, he went on to score multiple goals and become a real leader for the squad during their successful qualification campaign. One of his teammates complimented his ability to strike the ball effectively with both feet, which he attributed to the time he spent working with his opposite leg while his broken leg recovered. What seemed so unfortunate at the moment actually turned into a greater blessing down the road. His routine was interrupted with the broken leg, and it led him to a place he would have not chosen otherwise. He didn't have to like the fact that he was injured, but instead of wallowing and feeling sorry for himself, he said yes and turned the setback into a strength. Coca-Cola and Pepsi, plastic, Goodyear, Rogaine, Viagra, microwave ovens, Silly Putty, Play-Doh, and penicillin were all created as mistakes. They are the result of science and research working on one project or goal, only to have a new discovery come as a result. Looking at that list, I am sure you can find one or more things you are grateful for. Right, fellas? Now for yourself, think about a time when the unexpected led to an awesome new journey or opportunity. What happened? What were you working on that took an unexpected twist? What setback led you in a new direction? Can you look back and connect the dots in reverse, seeing the good that came as an interruption to your routine? Whatever happened, it was your ability to say yes and to the situation that moved you forward. So, why don't we do this more consciously? We can. Remember, our routine is going to be interrupted whether we like it or not. So let's get ahead of the curve. The reason change is so uncomfortable is because we get attached to our stories and expectations. Just like we need to constantly examine our beliefs and whether they are helping us respond as a victim or victor, we need to examine our mental attachments as well. Ask yourself, what things in your life are you strongly attached to not changing? Again, you'll probably think about relationships and health not wanting to change. That makes sense. But are you willing to ponder the possibility and probability that they will change? They have no choice. I'm not saying they are going to change for the better or worse. In fact, it is probably both. The thing to accept is that they will change. So, as they change, are you open to changing with them? Guess what? You will be changing too. The thoughts, feelings, and beliefs you have right now will be different tomorrow, and probably much more different a few years from now. What we need to do is develop the ability to keep fresh eyes. Children view the world with awe and possibility, and as things change, they adapt and change with them. I'm not saying a child is not capable of a cosmic meltdown and temper tantrum, but observe how quickly they are able to move on and let things go. It is the attachment that causes the pain. Attachment to what? Attachment to anything. A person, a physical object, an outcome. We don't see it as attachment, but it is. It shows up in our goals and expectations to the extent that we struggle to deal with what is because we are so attached to what we think it should be. You look at your spouse and get upset with their behavior because they don't behave the way you want them to behave. You get frustrated with your career because you don't progress or get compensated the way you feel you should be rewarded. You go on vacation and complain about the weather because it doesn't unfold the way you had hoped. If you strip away your expectations from all of these situations, you are simply left with what is. Instead, you waste your energy and exhaust others around you with your unfair life. A few years back, my wife and I scored tickets to see Oprah Winfrey live in St. Louis for a taping of her Life Class program. Iyanla VanZant, the world-renowned author and life coach, was her featured guest that day, and she shared an idea that has stuck with me ever since. Iyanla is a master at identifying the victim mindset with the clients she works with. During her talk, she broke it down this way. Since I was there live, this is essentially how I remember it. We experience every event in three ways. One, the facts. These are the physical details of what happened. If you were in a car accident, the facts are that you were in a car accident and the physical details of the event. Two, the story. The story is what you create as a result of the facts. You take the facts and give them meaning. You can create whatever story you choose. The world is out to get me. They were driving too fast. I will never feel safe again. You can also have positive stories. Well, accidents happen. I'm glad I'm okay. It's just a car. I guess I need to pay better attention next time. So many stories, and we are the ones who create them. Three, the truth. For Iyanla, she takes this to a spiritual depth that I happen to believe in myself. This points to what you believe in your heart about life and spirit. The truth, as Iyanla shares it, is that no matter what happens, you are still safe in love. You can never be outside of love. Whether or not you choose to believe in the spirituality of the third point, points one and two are enough to rock your world. We cannot control what happens, but we can and do create the story. The story you create comes from your beliefs. There they are again. Your beliefs influence your behavior and create your habits. Your stories and attachments are the direct results of your beliefs. If the stories you create are rich with drama and victimization, it is because you are still attached to limiting beliefs. As the late and marvelous Wayne Dyer often said, "If you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change." Living yes and is about letting go of being attached to outcomes and saying yes to the facts. Once we say yes, we can then choose an and response authentically connected to our purpose. People often think I am advocating accepting tough situations and therefore accepting a rough plight in life. I am absolutely not saying that. Just the opposite. I am encouraging people to say yes to the facts and then responding with authority built on purpose. It is your story. You are the author. Therefore, you have authority. A few years back, I was introduced to John O'Leary. You may know John because of his national best-selling book, On Fire, The 7 Choices to Ignite a Radically Inspired Life. John has become a dear friend and mentor of mine in the world of public speaking. John is love and integrity in action. His launch leadership conferences are a shot in the arm and heart to anyone in a leadership position, which, as we know, is everyone. As a 9-year-old boy, John was playing with fire in his garage when the gas can he was holding exploded and blew him 20 feet into the wall. When he stood up, he was covered in gasoline and flames. He ran into his home on fire, where his sisters and older brother worked for over 5 minutes to beat off the flames. By the time John arrived at the hospital, over 95% of his body was badly burned. He was given less than 1% chance to live through the night. To hear John share his story is moving. I've had the honor to hear him share it more than once, and each time I am moved to tears. That first night in the hospital, John asked his mom if he was going to die. Her response was powerful. She asked John, "Do you want to die?" John said, "No." His mom then responded, "Then John, you need to work harder than you've ever worked before." John's mother gave him a choice. She couldn't change the facts of what had happened. A horrible event had occurred. But the facts don't determine the outcome. The outcome is a future event, not the present moment. In the present moment, we have the ability to respond with all of the authority available to us. In that moment, John chose life. In doing so, he was forced to challenge death and grave predictions on a daily basis for months. The battle was long and painful, but day to day, moment by moment, John didn't let the facts of the situation dictate his outcome. That is living yes and. Facts don't make us a victim. It is our response to the facts that determine the outcome. As I mentioned, I am honored to have John as a friend in my life. His life is an example of living yes and. Last year, I gave him a sign that reads, "Yes and." It hangs in his Rising Above corporate offices, and he told me recently that his team incorporates the idea of yes and into every meeting. We will not choose the majority of the adversity that comes our way, but the one thing we know for sure, they will come. Instead of sitting back, closing our eyes, and hoping that the adversity never arrives, we can be proactive in noticing the fears and attachments we have created. When we are aware of the fears and attachments, we can either choose to explore them and consciously interrupt the routine or not. Regardless, with or without your consent, the routine will be interrupted. The question is, will you play the role of the victim or respond with authority of your yes and? It's your choice. Unstuck principle number 9. Interrupt the routine.